Hey folks, and welcome to this week's edition of the podcast. This is a shorter one, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. But first, I just want to check in with you, make sure you're doing okay, give you the quick update. We're doing fine over here. You know, school online is going kind of better than I expected it would go. My kid's doing a pretty good job of keeping it together and actually seems to be learning something, although this will be an emotional scar forever for these kids. You miss so many of the milestones that happen in school, physically. We've started broadcasting the radio show live from my basement, streaming from my basement to WFMU and then out to the radio. It's quite different, and I'm getting used to it. I'm figuring it out. And I don't know. I hope you're all doing okay. I know that this week was, for me, perhaps the craziest week in recorded human history, and I feel that the huge majority of my listeners are on, their crazy meter is calibrated to the same as mine, and there's a couple out there who think I'm the crazy one, and I always enjoy more so, almost, exchanging emails with those folks, and there's a few people who I've been in contact with who think I'm the crazy one, but we keep it civil. We try to keep it civil. I like hearing the other point of view. So here's the story. Let's move on. Here's the story, because I'm going to shoot myself if we have to talk about the news too much. You've got to wean yourself onto happier things like this. Robbie Foulkes has been a guest on the show, I don't know, over the past 20 years or so, I don't know, five times maybe, twice in person, a bunch of times on the phone, sometimes long, sometimes short, and it's very simple. This is going to get a little redundant, but I was going to play his, I was kind of picking songs to play this week on the radio show, and I picked out his fantastic track called 70s Jesus. I was going to talk about it, and I thought I'll just get Robbie to talk about it, and so I called him up. He's not doing anything. And he talks about it here. It's kind of interesting, especially if you grew up in the 70s. He paints this amazing picture of how life was, and he refers to Jesus as having a Frampton hairdo. And I don't know, it's just a fantastic song. We get the story behind it here from one of my favorite songwriters ever. If you're not into Robbie Foulkes, you know, get into him. So interesting. And you know that this radio show is kind of a pop radio show, pop song radio show, but his, especially lately, his output is really all over the map, including his Grammy-nominated record a couple years ago, which is really more of a, I don't know, it's hard to describe, an acoustic, I don't want to say, I'm going to say it wrong, it's kind of like a bluegrassy singer-songwritery, not really bluegrassy at all, it's not really country, I don't think. Anyways, they're beautiful records, Anyways, check RobbieFoulkes.com for information about Robbie, hopefully in a slightly more articulate way than I've... I'll tell you, he is one of the greatest songwriters, performers, guitar players we've got. So that much I'll tell you and stand behind 100%. So here it is, me and Robbie Foulkes. We're just chatting about this fantastic tune, 70s Jesus. Some great guests coming up in the next couple weeks. Stay tuned. Check in with me. Stay sane. We'll talk to you soon. So I was putting my, as I mentioned earlier, I was putting my show together, and I was going to play 70s Jesus because I saw we had not played that song in a few weeks, and it's just such a number one hit song. And I thought, you know, it's funny, I was at the City Winery, the one on the pier, and last time I saw Robbie Foulkes live, and he was asking for audience requests, and I screamed out 70s Jesus, and he did it, and he preceded it with a long story, and I was thinking, oh, when I play this song on Saturday, I'll just tell the long story about what this song means, because it's such a great story. And I thought, well, I've got really nothing to do, and I'll bet Robbie Foulkes has nothing to do. I'll call up Robbie and just have him tell the story. So I believe I've got Robbie Foulkes on the line. Robbie, are you there? Good morning.
Hello, hello, hello.
I guess first things first, are everybody well in your universe?
Yeah, we're doing well. It's just my wife and me, and we're observing the rules, and so far it's worked.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. It's not so bad so far. So bad. I mean, is this a time for you to like get a lot of creative stuff done, or is it too nerve-wracking?
Theoretically, it's a good time for that. Just sort of practically, I'm one of those people, like a lot of songwriters, need an empty room, you know, and nobody around. And that's not really, it's not really the case. My wife's always around. So I try to sneak off into the garage and get some writing done. I've probably written, you know, 6 or 7 songs during the last month. They're not necessarily good songs, but.
It's something. So let's talk about this song, 70s Jesus. It's just a fantastic song. And you've been doing this thing in the past recently where you release songs in between records on USB, whatever they're called, thumb drives. And this one is on a thing called Revenge of the Doberman, which has 53 songs. And folks can go to robbiefolks.com and pick it up. And I do think you've excerpted some of these on Bandcamp into sort of more LP-sized chunks, but if you want the whole thing, buy the thumb drive. So, and it sounded interesting because these are 53 songs that are not in one genre or one style, and not with one band. They're sort of, they range from demos to full-on productions. They're all over the map. You sell a lot of these?
Do I sell a lot of them?
Yeah.
I think I buy them in boxes of 500. And I can't remember what box I'm on right now. I think it's my third or fourth box. So, I mean, that's the scale of it. And so it takes a while to make the money back because, you know, 53 recordings is a lot of money. I think contrary to what you just said, you know, a demo, I don't know. There's a couple that just have one or two instruments on them, but most of them have, you know, 5, 6, 7 players and, you know, and have gone through lengthy mix processes. So. It's a somewhat expensive undertaking. It's not like the things were just lying around and waiting to be put out. I actually, you know, went and recorded them. But if I get to the, I don't know, the 1800th or 1900th sale, then I'll have made the money back. So please do buy.
One of the great things about Revenge of Doberman also is there's other versions of songs that ended up on Wild, 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 which was my favorite album last year. Folks who listen to the show have heard it a lot, but it's refreshing to hear those other versions. So let's talk about the song 70s Jesus. It's such a fantastic number one hit song. A little bit about the story. Why don't you first tell us who plays on it and all that? No, I'm wrong. Just tell us a little bit about the story, and then I'll have you tell us about the recording. So, what is this a true story about your childhood, more or less?
Well, it's highly embroidered, and so is the story that I tell on stage to set it up. But the story goes that we went to a Unitarian church for a little while when I was in the third grade. We were living in a town in Virginia called Waynesboro, which is not far from Charlottesville, where we ended up moving shortly after. But anyway, at this church, you know, in the 70s, there was a lot of religiosity in the land with young people in the U.S. and, you know, a kind of a soft spirituality as opposed to a, you know, evangelical fire and brimstone kind of spirituality. At least that was how it was in our corner of the hippie socialist commie radical Christian world. And so this church had different lecturers, almost, not really, you know, not so much men of the cloth, but they were people with ideas, and, you know, they'd come and throw them out on a Sunday morning. And my parents were taken with this one guy, and handsome young guy who talked about Bible ideas. And we ended up going out to his commune. And once there, it seemed like my dad was much less happy to be on this commune than my mom might have been.
Let me stop you for one second. So how old were you around this time? What part of the country was it? And go out to the commune to live or just to spend Sunday?
Well, I was in the third grade, so I was 8 or 9, and Waynesboro, Virginia. And where the commune was, I think it was right around there. I can't remember how far a drive that it was. But in the story that I tell, just because it's a better story, I say that we went out there to live. I think that probably wasn't the case. I think we were just out there for a day, just checking it out. And maybe the idea of finding out more, or maybe living there was part of the reason we were there. I just don't know. You know, I was so young. But what truly did happen was that my dad got into a kind of a loud argument with a guy, and we ended up leaving in sort of a heightened emotional state. And that's really the whole story. And, you know, I started thinking about, I guess I started thinking, writing about 70s spirituality. There's a sort of a sub theme in that book, City on Fire, about New York in the 70s that came out about born again Christianity in the 70s. And I thought, oh yeah, that was really a thing. And I really was a Bible reader myself. I was into the religion. And, so it seemed like an interesting theme that was, you know, socially wide and relevant, and on which one had a little, you know, personal experience to add into the mix.
The picture you paint is perfectly 70s. And as a little kid, I mean, can you separate what you were seeing then, and then in your adult rearview mirror, you know, is there some, can you correct yourself? You know what I mean? As a little kid, were you seeing it better than it was?
I don't know. I'll kind of answer it this way. I'm not sure if it's an answer or not. You can tell me if it's not, but I think talking to other people my age about their childhood, like I've sometimes noticed that people have memories of being in danger and, you know, and, so childhood sometimes appears in the rearview mirror like a time when a capricious or whimsical kind of an event or decision by an adult whose care you're in can lead to like a drastically different outcome than the one that did happen for you. You know, like you're on the edge of some potentially dangerous, life-changing thing. And thankfully, most of the time, nothing comes of it. But to me, this was potentially one of those things, you know, when you go off to look at some commune or something and, you know, and throw into the hopper with that some, you know, some philosophical injunction that you're going to spend the rest of your life living in accord with, monumental things are in play, and you're helpless, and you know you're helpless to change your situation at that age.
Oh, it's totally weird. I mean, is this one of these things like we, you know, flash forward to the 1980s and we're all watching Family Ties and laughing about that old time we all went to the commune, or was it never spoken of again?
I never talked about it with my parents. I mean, it really didn't turn out to be anything at all. You know, it was a day in the life, and it happened and it was done. But I'm sure, you know, when you're a kid, those events stand out, you know, in your mind, you never lose them. Half of the stuff I think my folks have forgotten, and half of the stuff that happened in my kids' lives when they were young, I've forgotten about. You know, that's definitely true.
When you're writing the song, did you look this guy up? Did you try to see what happened with these people?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I think... You know how it is when you write songs, you're just looking for a window in, and most of the time it doesn't work out. But once you're in there, really the thing to watch out for is being overly influenced by reality. You know, you just want to kind of let go of, you know, any perceived need to reflect, you know, journalistically real life events, and let imagination and the needs of the song, you know, be in the driver's seat.
All right, let's hear it. Robbie, always a pleasure to hear you, and I'm glad you told the story instead of me. I wouldn't have remembered, I wouldn't be able to tell it right. And I'm glad you didn't join a cult.
Well, it's still possible. They say don't call your life cult-free until you're dead, because things can really change in a minute.
You're right. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You could still join a cult. Good for you. All right. Thanks, Robbie.
Always a pleasure, Michael.
What is the time?
Jack off of
the bypass. No steeple and no stained glass. We parked our VW van in the grass alongside. Greeted old friends in a soul cleanse. Then sat down on that oak bench and sang out to the heavens. He's alive, 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 yeah! You believers who came after, I can hear your scornful laughter. The man who caused our rapture was the gentlest of souls. He was the peacenik archetypal, and we were proud to be disciples. And when he said, I am the truth and the way, and then we said, yeah, man, anything that you say. What a far out feeling just to look into those big brown eyes. 70 seasons, ever understanding. He was a brother, a rock and a soul. 70 seasons, soft but commanding. He was a straight talking, water walking, earth saving son of the Lord. I was a regular pinnate praiser with a turtleneck beneath my blazer. Daddy wore a fringe vest. Mama had a do-rag on her head. We bowed our heads to summon our Savior second coming. When we'd run wild in the streets and we'd go jam with the dead. Our creed was jubilation, no hellfire or damnation. We just banged our little tambourines and we'd march on them all. And Grandma had no patience for our scriptural translations, but she had to be glad we had religion at all. 70's Jesus, a true sensation. On up to Reagan, he was rocking the land. 70's Jesus, with his cross of Pablo, he was a free flag flying, good time redeemer of man. And now that age is a capsule in time, but I pray my children will be lucky and find a peaceful prophet who is sensitive and